Let's look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon was one of the wisest kings. He wrote three books. He wrote the book of Proverbs, which is the wisdom of God personified. He wrote the Song of Solomon when he was getting away from the Lord. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And looking back over life, he says it's all, everything under the sun is only vanity and vexation of spirit. But we're looking in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 12. The Proverbs jump from one thing to another, sometimes between a verse or two, without much of a context. But this one has a bit of a context to it, from verse 12 to the end of verse 19. I'm not going to read it, but going down through it to look at it together. Verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward or a perverted, crooked, distorted, twisted mouth. How can you walk with your mouth? He winketh with his eye. Well, we know what that is. He speaketh with his feet. Can you talk with your feet? Sure you can. He teaches with his fingers. Can you do that? Must be able to. This is a book of wisdom. Frowardness, crookedness, perverseness is in his heart. He deviseth wicked mischief, which is literally evil, continually. And he soweth discord. Discord, which is division, strife, and confusion. A naughty person, one who he is, and a wicked man. I don't think it's the same person myself. This naughty person is another person apart from a wicked man. I think what Solomon is doing here, he's describing the world in a general sense. And I believe the naughty person is Satan himself. I'll tell you why. That word naughty is translated 16 times in the Bible, Belial. And Belial is another figurative name of Satan himself. And 16 times it's translated Belial. That means a wicked, worthless, no good person. And that's Satan. What he was created for was great, but he became worthless, useless, and a wicked person. So a naughty person and a wicked man. Now the wicked man is, the word wicked there is literally means he's full of iniquity. He's gone astray. Now it isn't hard to look back in the Garden of Eden and see that that's where that naughty person came into the world, isn't it? Satan came into the world there through, and he came in through Adam, who became a wicked man. The word iniquity, wicked there means lawless. And that's why Adam only had one law. He was not to eat of a certain tree. He broke that law. And he brought sin. And that man speaks non-verbally. We say a lot non-verbally. I've got a book at home, how you can read a person like a book. And sometimes up here when you're preaching, you can look at people and some of them are drinking it right in. Others have got a frown on their face as much as say, what's this babbler got to say? And other ones looking around everywhere, they're not clued in at all. They're talking to me. They're not saying anything with them out. They're talking with me. So we do a lot of talking without saying a word. And that's what this is talking about. We walk, we conduct ourselves with a distorted, crooked mouth. That is, we say things that are perverse, they're not true, they're twisted, they're warped, and we're walking with our mouth. It tells what we When you hear somebody talking about, all they can talk about is playing golf. They don't know anything else but playing golf. And they talk about playing golf. You can be sure that person is walking, conducting his life in relationship to the golf course, or whatever the case might be. You hear people talking about fishing. I remember down in Cape Island one time, a fellow had no friends. And it was obvious why he had no friends. I told him, I said, you got no friends because all you do is talk about yourself. And if you want friends, don't talk to a farmer about fishing. He's not interested. Talk to him about farming. So we talk a lot with we walk a lot with our mouth. It tells what our course of life is, what our conduct of life is. He winketh with his eyes. We know what that is. I remember a fellow up in Cambridge. We often visited. Charlie, his name was, and two of us had visited. And Charlie would say something to me, and then he'd always look at the other fellow and wink. And I'd say, I got him this time. And he just looked at the other fellow and gave a little wink. I could see his wink every time because I knew him quite well. So we give a little message when we wink the eye. We're just kidding this guy. We're just fooling this guy. And we wink at the other fellow as much as say we don't really mean what we're saying. We just give a little wink. We're just sneering at him. We're just scoffing at him. We're just laughing at him. Just poking fun at him. He speaketh with his feet. Now, if I see somebody going into a bootleg joint constantly, every day you see him going down to the bootleg joint, he's telling you something. He could be speaking, you could misunderstand him. He might have some other motive in going there. But he's telling us something. That he's going in for a drink of beer, going in there. When you see people get out of a car down on the West Pamlico, and you see them go in the bank instead of the drugstore, they're telling you something with their feet, aren't they? They're walking with their feet. And they say, oh, that person's going to the bank. Oh, that person's going to the drugstore, and so on. So you see, what the whole verse is talking about, verse 12, 13, 14, and 16, what it's talking about is the course of man's actions. He does all kinds of acts and says all kinds of things by the way he acts, the way he speaks, the way he points the finger. If we're driving along in a car and all of a sudden you see a deer over in a field, I might not say a word, I might just point my finger like that, and I'm telling you something. Over there there's a deer in the field, or whatever the case might be. Or if you're out fishing somewhere and you happen to see something and the boat motors are so loud you can't, nobody can hear, and you see a whale or something, you just nod and you point, and you're telling somebody something with your finger. Nonverbal. And our conduct gives us away. Nonverbal speaking, we do it all the time. Now, notice the end of this. Therefore shall his, that's man's, calamity, judgment, come suddenly. This old wicked world is coming to an end. This old wicked system. That worthless person, that naughty person, Satan himself, that has come into mankind and made him a wicked, lawless type of a person, and made him crooked and perverse. And there's nothing in verse 14 in the heart of that man except perverseness, frowardness, rebellion and perverseness is in his heart. He continually is scheming, devising evil continually. And notice the last part. He soweth discord. Discord is strife, division. Nowhere in the world is there any harmony. Governments, there's division everywhere. More so today than everywhere. There's discord everywhere. Nations internally cannot agree with one another. Externally they can't agree with us. Families are breaking up. There's problems and discord everywhere. That's the chief work of Satan, is to cause confusion and discord and strife, wars, troubles in the world. That's what they're doing, sowing discord. But there's a judgment coming in verse 3. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, like it did in the days of Noah. You remember the days of Noah, how suddenly it came? Years and years passed by. Noah got a message to build an ark because there's a flood coming on the earth. It was 100 years before the flood actually came after he got the message. And the people were not aware. Luke says they knew it not until the flood came and took them away in the flood. It came suddenly. Sodom and Gomorrah, one night, two angels went into that city. The next morning it was a flaming, just a bunch of flame of ashes suddenly came upon them. And notice it says that's going to come suddenly. They shall be broken without remedy. No salvation. No remedy. Once Sodom perished, that was it. They perished. Once the flood came, they all perished in the flood outside of old people, 8 people. There was no remedy. Suddenly, sudden judgment is going to break on this old wicked world and carry people off into eternity where there is no remedy whatsoever. Now, I think you've got in verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, you've got sin entering into the world through a naughty person. Man, in a general sense, became very, very wicked. He's constantly telling his wickedness by his actions, verbally and non-verbally. He's constantly devising perverseness in his heart and mischief, and he's sowing disharmony and discord among the children of men. That's a sad description of the world. Now, from verse 16 on, you've got 6,000 years, I believe, of history in verse 16 on. Now, we're going to look at that. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Now, usually the word 7, 6 in the Bible stands for man. He was made on the 6th day. The number of the beast is 666 because it's Satan's masterpiece as a man, the beast, the Antichrist. And 7 in the Bible is the number of completion or fullness. So there are 6 things that the Lord hates, and those things are back in verses 12, 13, 14, 15. God hates wickedness and sin and deceit and devising evil and discord. He hates that. But 7 things are an abomination to him. So these are 6 things that the Lord hates. Now, as Christians, what the Lord hates, we should hate. What the Lord loves, we should love. The characteristic of the Lord Jesus can be summarized in one verse in Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. If we love righteousness, we're going to hate sin. If we love God, we're going to hate the devil. If we love this world, we're not a friend of God. We can't love the Father and love the world at the same time. We can't serve 2 masters, the Bible says. You either hate the one and you love the other. You can't serve God and mammon, what you can get out of this world, at the same time. See, these 6 things the Lord hates. Now we're going to look at these and you're going to see the history of the human race in these verses. Verse 17. A proud look. Pride is the one sin that Satan fell into. It was something in his heart. If you look with me, keep your finger here. Let's look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3 when it comes to an elder in a meeting. And it said he should not be a newly converted person, a novice in the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6. He shouldn't be a novice. Somebody newly saved. lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, the condemnation of the devil was pride. God found iniquity in his heart. He said in his heart, I will lift up my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. 5 times in Isaiah 14, I will. That was his pride. Pride is the sin that keeps man away from God. I think it's in Proverbs again, but especially in Psalm, I think it's chapter 10, the 10th Psalm, it says this. I'll get it for you in a minute. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. The one condemning sin that plunged Satan from heaven down to this earth, down to the air over this earth, and the one sin that keeps people away from God is pride. It was the original sin. A proud look, that's one of 6 things. Go back in Genesis chapter number 3, and you're going to see that proud look. That began man on a downward course. Genesis chapter 3, it was Eve's proud look at that forbidden fruit that God hates. It was Eve that plunged the world into sin, though Adam was held accountable, because Eve was hidden in Adam. Adam was held accountable. Notice that in chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and verse number 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be, all those 3 things, is the lust of the flesh, good for food, the lust of the eye, pleasant to the eye, and the pride of life, it would make her wise. But notice, she saw the whole 3 of those things. When the woman saw, she saw 3 things. She not only saw the tree, but she saw that the tree appealed to the lust of her flesh. It was something pleasant to the eye. It was no better than the rest of the trees. It was a tree that would make her wise. That was the proud look. God, 3, 6 things God hates. Yea, 7 is the bummer. A proud look. That's Eve. Now notice the next. A lying tongue. Go back in chapter 3 again. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto her, unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. A lying tongue. A lying tongue. 6 things the Lord hates. A proud look. Looking for all we can get out of the world, the lust of the flesh. All that we can see, the lust of the eye. All that we can be, the pride of life. Everybody wants to be somebody. Kids playing ball, everybody wants to be the captain. Cowboy and Indians, everybody wants to be the chief and not the Indian. Every game we play, my wife and I play skip-ball about after every meal, and we both like to win. We couldn't tell you the next day whether we won or not, but we all like to win. Everybody plays a little game they like to win. A proud look and a lying tongue. That's Satan. And so you got 2 things. Eve and her proud look. Satan and his lying tongue. Now in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, it says that the devil was a liar from the beginning. And he was a murderer from the beginning. So here's his lie. He lied to Eve. He said, thou shalt not surely die. That's the naughty person. That's the one that's made a wicked human race. And those people are the ones that are eventually going to be destroyed unless they repent and come to Christ. So you've got in the history book the first two things in verse 17, Eve's proud look and a lying tongue, the first lying tongue in creation was that of Satan. Now, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, it isn't hard to see who that is. That was Cain. Cain was the hands that shed the blood of his brother Abel. Abel was the innocent one. Not that he didn't shed blood, but Abel was the innocent one because he had made a blood sacrifice of lambs. He was continually making offerings and sacrifices to the Lord for his sins, and he was the innocent one. How long it was after they made those sacrifices he was killed, we really don't know. But we do know that he made more than one. We read of only one in Genesis chapter 4, but there's obviously more than one because it says that Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flocks and the fat thereof, and God had respect to that, and Hebrews speaks about him offering his gifts. So in the course of time, Cain, the first murderer, murdered his own brother and shed innocent blood. So there you've got the seed pod of the human race. Eve and her proud look, she saw what that tree had to offer. And Satan with his lying tongue, and hands of the first murder, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, in 1 John chapter number 5, 3 rather, in 1 John chapter number 3, we can see that Satan, the scripture says that he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Now, in 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to read there how that Cain killed Abel through Satan, or Satan did it through Cain. Chapter 3 of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. See, Satan is becoming the first murderer. He incited Cain to go out and kill his own brother. Cain was of that wicked one of Satan and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now the only works they had was that we read about. They were farmers and shepherds, and there was nothing wrong with those works. The only other works we read about them ever doing was two offerings they made. Cain made an offering of the fruit of his ground. Abel made an offering from his flock. Cain's offering was evil. Abel's was righteous. And Satan energized Cain to kill Abel. Now he's introducing to the world, in these verses in Proverbs, pride, which is the downfall of fat man, lying tongues, and hands that shed innocent blood. And the world is full of that everywhere. So here you get the seed pot of these six things that God hates. Now let's look on. In verse number 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. See, that goes right back to a previous verse in verse 14. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now look with me in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, after 1656 years, the flood came on the earth. And this is what we read in chapter 6. Of the work of that naughty person, Belial, Satan himself, in the children of men, and causing Eve, lying to Eve, and causing her to take that proud look that would make her somebody that God didn't intend her to be, and Cain murdering Abel, that went on for 1,656 years before the flood came on the earth. And listen to what God says the earth was like in chapter 6 of Genesis and verse number 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Isn't that what Proverbs 6 said? Proverbs 6 and verse number 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. So there's the days of Noah. So we've got the Garden of Eden and that what's associated with it in verse 17, three things. And after about 1,656 years, God looks at the earth and he says, this is what he sees, this is what he hates, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. See, man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we know the story, how that God sent the flood on the earth. It was incurable. So he sent the flood on the earth and he destroyed everybody but 8 people. And you might say he started all over. And he told them exactly what he told Adam when he created them, to be fruitful and multiply and replace the earth. Well, what happened? The next thing we read in verse 18 of Proverbs 6, feet that be swift to run to mischief or evil. That happened about 200 years after the flood in Genesis chapter number 11, where a man named Nimrod started to build a tower to heaven and a city to control the world. And God came down and looked the situation over, and he came down in judgment and he destroyed that, and he confused the people's language, scattered them all over the earth. They were feet. Those were feet that were swift and running to mischief. Isn't that what's going on today in the world? Pride is everywhere. It's amazing how people can have these idols, Britney Spears. She gets front page pictures on the newspaper. She's a big hero. People interested in her. Why? Because she has prestige. She's popular. And she's one of the wickedest, miserablest women in the world. Drunk, drugs, in jail, married a couple of times, no children. And yet people are interested in her. Go in bookstores, go in magazine racks, and you see it everywhere. Well, every time she gets pregnant, it's advertised on the moment almost. Because she's popular. I don't think people want to be like her. I hope they don't. But they want the popularity she's got. That's the proud look. So, you got Nimrod in chapter 11. The people after the flood, shortly after the flood, they wanted to be somebody. Listen, they said, let us make us a name in chapter 11 and verse 4. Let us build us a city. Let us build us a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered all over the earth. They want to be somebody. I can't imagine why anybody wants to be the President of the United States. You'd want a steel coat around you all the time, because it's a dangerous position to be in. Why do people want it? They want the popularity. They're popular all over the world. They want the place. And they have to take the headaches, but they want the place as well. So, hearts that devise wicked imagination, feet that are swift and running to evil. That's the Tower of Babel. That's the ecumenical movement that's moving today in our world. Now, number 19, we got the sixth thing, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, that brings us into the law. It's the law says thou shalt not bear false witness. So what you've got in verse 17 here is the seed pot of this old wicked world that we read about in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. It happened back in the Garden of Eden, a proud look, a Satan's lie, and Cain's murder. And in verse number 18, it brings you right up to the flood, and after the flood, and the Tower of Babel, and on. And then, of course, in verse 14, 19, in comes the law with Moses. A nation is born out of Egypt, and they're brought into the promised land. And in comes the law, the Ten Commandments, and a false witness that speaketh lies is contrary to the law. That law went on until the cross. Up to the end of verse 9, false witness that speaketh lies, you've got 4,000 years of man's history. And in them you've got 6 things that God hates. That proud look, that lying tongue, those hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked things, feet that are swift running evil, and false witnesses that bears wise. You've got the history of man for 4,000 years up to the middle of verse 19. What do you got from that? He that soweth discord among the brethren. That's the last 2,000 years. It's amazing that Judaism is only divided probably in about 2 or 3 different groups. Muslims are divided in 2 groups. Catholics in the world, there are 2 groups of Catholics. Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholics. 2 groups. Get Protestantism, you got about 14 or 1500 different groups. Somebody sowing discord among the brethren? That's the characteristic of our age in the last 2000 years. Somebody's been sowing discord. Satan, that naughty person, has come into that wicked man that he made, and he's using man, maybe unconsciously to himself, he's using man to sow division and strife and contention. So today Christianity is just one mass of confusion, one mass of failure, so the world is laughing at it. The world is winking with a wry. Sowing discord. Sowing discord among the brethren. That's what Satan did in verse number 14. The whole purpose was to sow discord in the world among people, among families, among religions, among politics or society, whatever you have. And that's what he's doing in our present world. And these verses takes us from Eve in the Garden of Eden right on to the day in which we're living. And we're living in the day when Satan and man is sowing discord and strife among the brethren. Christianity's rating in the world is as low as it ever has been. So low that there's very little recognized in the majority of it as being biblical or Christian at all. People are more involved in getting into politics. We have a New Age Baptist minister running for the presidency of the United States. The man is a New Ager. He's not in there to teach what the scriptures. He's in there to use the politics of the world to do the same thing that the New Age and humanism and globalism is doing. Politics is more governed by Christianity today than it ever was before. And yet our nation believes in a separation of the state, church and the state, as it were. Discord everywhere. So that gives a little bit of picture, a little bird's eye overall view of the history of man from the Garden of Eden to this present day. And those 6 things, those 6, 7 things, God says they're an abomination to him. He hates those things. And we should open our eyes and hate the same things. May the Lord help us to live in a wicked world in a manner wherewith we please God by hating what God hates and loving what God loves. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy goodness in opening our eyes to show us in Thy Word the terrible cause and results of sin entering into the world. We ever thank Thee and praise Thee, though, that the Lord Jesus has died on Calvary's cross to overcome the God of this world, to cast out the prince of this world, and to judge this wicked world systems. We ever thank Thee for Him. In the course of doing that, Lord, we thank Thee that He's provided a victory for us where we can overcome Satan and the world all around us. So we ask Thy blessing to be good upon us and upon Thy people everywhere. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.